I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. It is a Wednesday edition of the show, and the Bucks are still in the playoffs, so that means we have a game preview to get into the divisional round of Bucks versus Lions as the Bucks head down. Or up, I guess, technically. Bucks head up to Motown for a chance to go to the NFC Championship. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place of PewterReport.com, SR Scott Reynolds. Scott, how we doing on this lovely Wednesday?
I'm doing good. I'm ready for this game. I think it's going to be fun. It was fun to see the Buccaneers get some revenge on the Philadelphia Eagles. And Philly fan, especially, right? I mean, they're so obnoxious. Yeah. With the Lions, to me, it was kind of cool to see them win their playoff game, the first one since 1991, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. The Bucs have won two Super Bowls since then. I mean, really, since 2002.
Yeah.
So it's crazy how futile the Lions franchise has been over this stretch. Now, at 12-5, they are. They're tied for the best record, I should say, most wins in franchise history. They actually had a 12-4 record, which was technically better back in 1991, but lost that playoff game. So this is kind of like now or never, I think, for the Lions, Matt. When you look at the fact that Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, is getting some interviews and some feelers out there. Ben Johnson is one of the hottest names as the offensive coordinator. You know, you look at the Eagles, and I think part of the reason why they have kind of imploded this year was because they lost both of their coordinators, right, from that Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Shane Steichen went to the Colts and did a very good job there in year one. Jonathan Gannon went to Arizona, and their replacements certainly did not do a great job for Nick Sirianni, and he's, say what you want about him, he may or may not be a good head coach, but they certainly folded like a, you know, folding chair.
House of cards, yeah.
Yeah, down the stretch. And so you have to wonder. I mean, I think Dan Campbell's a tremendous coach, better than Nick Sirianni. But it's tough to lose your coordinators. And so this Lions team seems like it's do or die, now or never, because they could lose one or both of those coordinators. And is there some pressure now that this is a Lions team of destiny? You kind of saw that happened in that Rams game where they jumped out to a 14-3 lead, and then they got outscored 20-10 over the final three quarters of that game, including 6-3 in the second half. They got really tight, and they had to hang on for that win. And it's like they were playing not to lose in the second half rather than to win. Buccaneers can come in as underdogs with house money and play loose and free, and, hey, we weren't expected to be here. This is the Lions year, et cetera. And you know, they've won five games on the road this year, including at Green Bay and at Minnesota. So, Matt, I'm just looking at this, and if they can jump out to an early lead, you might see the Lions play really tight, get tense. And I think Tampa Bay's got a pretty good chance of winning this game.
Especially if they can put up points against the Lions defense, which they are very susceptible to allowing points. I mean, I know the Rams only put up like mid-20s, but when the Rams did score, like they like had a 50 yarder from Puka Nacua. Tutu Atwell, I believe, had a 28 or 38 yarder. So we are talking about a defense that can allow chunk plays. And oh, what happened Monday night? Oh, David Moore went for 48 yards, and Trey Palmer broke one tackle and went over 50 yards for a touchdown. So The chunk plays were going to be very important in this one. And what's enjoyable about this matchup, and it won't decide whether or not who wins, but it's two very likable teams playing in this game. Like the Lions were very likable going back to last year, Dan Campbell, the kneecaps thing.
Their appearance on Hard Knocks. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Hard Knocks as well. Yeah. So they built up a lot of, outside fans besides Detroit itself. And then the Bucks, again, the team that has proved a lot of doubters wrong, revived the career in Baker Mayfield for sure, and beat the Eagles, who, again, a lot of people outside of just Tampa aren't too fond of Philly and their fans either. So you got two very winnable slash likable teams going into this game. And the Bucs are just embracing that underdog mentality. And I agree with you, Scott. They can play loose. They can play free and just let it freaking rip, which is kind of when Baker Mayfield can be at his best. Mm-hmm. That's when he can reach his ceiling, is when he lets it freaking rip. So hopefully he does it on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you. And this is also a fun game to look at, because as we talked about with regards to the fact that Kalijah Kansi didn't play against the Eagles in the first go-round, Yaya Diaby was not a starter in that game, right? And so there was some different the Bucs are just a different team back then in week three, and I think they were a different team even in week six than they are now. This is a much better version of the Buccaneers. But, we were talking to Zion McCollum today, and we've got a lot of good clips for you guys. We were talking to Zion McCollum, who played at safety a lot in this game, really for the first time. And, Jamel Dean had a really good game. Carlton Davis had a really good game. And this is the first time, because remember, both of those guys were starting against the Lions, and Zion McCollum did not play that much. So it's a situation where you've got now with McCollum, I think he's going to play safety again. I mean, why wouldn't you? Because they gave up that big shot play to Jameson Williams over Ryan Neal. So having more speed in the defensive backfield with Zion McCollum, now you've got an instance where Todd Bowles can really go after the Lions with some blitzes, with some run stuffing packages, similar to what we saw maybe against the Lions or the Eagles. Not sure they're going to do the four defensive tackles, six man front again, but they can, because you've got some guys that can really play one-on-one man coverage with Zion McCollum in the middle of the field and Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean on the outside. So this is a completely different look. I think it's all going to come down to not so much stopping the Lions run game, because I think Tampa Bay can do that. They did it back in week six. They knocked David Montgomery out of the game. They did it against the Eagles. They're capable of doing that. They're a top five rushing defense. But can they slow down Amon-Ra St. Brown? Can they slow down Jameson Williams and prevent the deep shots? Can they prevent Josh Reynolds from owning the middle of the field? Can they slow down Sam Laporta? That's where it's going to be decided, in my opinion, is in the secondary. And having McCollum there with Dean and Jamel and Carlton Davis gives them some really good opportunities there to lock down some of these weapons for Detroit.
Yeah, I agree with you with everything you said about the Bucs being able to stop the run, but I think it's more of a just commitment to stopping the run more than anything else. That first game against the Lions, Montgomery got knocked out, only had 14 rushing yards. Yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs did not play in that game. So I do worry about that, because Jahmyr Gibbs, I remember at the time of the draft, it was like, what are they thinking? Drafting a running back? They got all these other guys, and it's not Bijan Robinson, but Jahmyr Gibbs has proved a lot of people wrong. Yeah. I really like the way that he runs, so I'm curious what factor he will have in the game, and if the Lions can get the ground game going in that sense, then, not that the Bucs are dead to rights, but even giving a little bit more of an opening to Amon-Ra St. Brown and all those guys, I definitely do worry about that. However, if they can stop the run, which, again, if they commit to it, I think they will, because we've seen them look bad against the Eagles in week three and stopping the run-wise against the Panthers 2 weeks ago, and then they look fantastic on Monday. That run-stopping effort looked like when, you know, Todd Bowles first got there in 2019 or back in 2020, when they were the leaders of stopping the run game, when the Dallas Cowboys refused to even run the ball and started doing short passes as their attack for the quote unquote run game. So with that said, if you make the Lions one-dimensional, I think another element, and we talked about this with the Bucs playing against the Eagles, but an element that will continue into this matchup, yes, Kalijah Kansi played that first time against the Lions. But once again, Yaya Diaby, mm-hmm. as a starting outside linebacker.
Yeah.
I think if you give Jared Goff one less second to throw the football, I think that could have made a big difference in the first matchup against the Lions. I think it'll be even that much more important this time around against Detroit. So you bring in Yaya as a starter. JTS is playing much better this last month than he has in his whole career as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So these little extra added elements into this game from who didn't play and who did play, I think can make a big difference. And implementing Zion McCollum as a cover guy and playing more man. And sure, Amon-Ra St. Brown may burn you on one play, but I'd rather the Bucs get burned one time, kind of like Devontae Smith did against the Bucs. You get burned that one time, but with all the other stops that you make, it ends up being a good payout in the long run.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, it's a shame that the Bucs aren't on position to play the Rams, because one of the names I love saying, and I abused my wife talking about it so much, was Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua, yeah.
Every time he caught a pass, I was like, Puka Nacua. Yeah. Can you imagine, like Bucs and Rams, like, Puka Nacua tackled by Yaya Diaby.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that just sounds cool. Anyways, I digress. They are playing the Lions, and let's go to some clips, because there's some really good stuff. A little bit of trash talk already starting between Chauncey Gardner Johnson. There we go. Got his name correct.
CJ.
Yeah.
AKA Chauncey Gardner Johnson. Yeah. So this one kind of came out rapidly. So paraphrasing here, but Chauncey Gardner-Johnson had said that the Bucs are a good group, but they could be a great group if they have a quarterback, or if they had a quarterback. So just a direct shot at Baker Mayfield. And no surprise it comes from a former New Orleans Saints to say something like that. And this was Baker Mayfield's response.
I don't think he's really watched film, because he mentioned Russell Gage. You know, we love Russell, but Russell hasn't played a snap all year for us. He must be going off the preseason stuff that the media was talking about. But he didn't play our first game, so I'm excited to see him. I think he's a really good player. He has been for a while. He's been an impactful guy on every team he's been on. So he's a good player, but yeah, he's got to do a little bit more film study.
Doesn't watch the tape.
Yeah. I love how Baker – like totally fired shots at Chauncey, but then like also praised him at the same time. It's like he didn't disrespect him as a player. He's just like, you know, son, you got to get in the film room and study. Like Russell Gage has been on IR the whole year. So it was good to see. I mean, Baker's a fiery, feisty guy.
And Baker loves to talk trash. He's always talking trash. So now that he gets to talk it like in the media, obviously a little bit of a PG version of what Baker will probably be saying on the field. And yeah, I hope Baker hits a deep shot, kind of like he did that last touchdown. Wasn't the deepest of shots, but that last touchdown to Chris Godwin, which was more him throwing it versus, you know, the receiver making a play and breaking 15 tackles and scoring a touchdown. Yep. I want to see Baker chuck the, like, maybe him and Mike Evans, they finally connect on one of those deep balls that has just eluded them the last two weeks. And Baker's running down the field, nodding his head, and then like runs up to CJ Gardner Johnson and says something. I like that. I hope Baker Mayfield personally takes those comments by Gardner Johnson and does the Michael Jordan. And I took that personally.
Yeah. So no, I agree. And I would love to see him hit Chris Godwin on like kind of like a skinny post, right? And Godwin catch the ball, and CJ is there, and then CJ gets stiff armed like right to the helmet by Godwin and just bites the turf as Godwin scores. That would be a nice revenge, as Edward Fernandez says here, a nice revenge for Chris Godwin in this game, because that was CJ that took out his knees when back in the 2021 season when the Saints came and beat the Buccaneers. What was it, 9-0?
9-0. 9-0.
A game.
Maybe Chris Godwin can do to CJ Gardner-Johnson what Rashad White did to Hufanga, the safety on the 49ers. Like, just juke him so badly.
Just wreck his knee. Yeah.
Or break some ankles. Anyway, thank you. Not that we root for injury, but thank you to Mark Fisher, a.k.a. Rev Fish, for the $4.99 Super Chat, who says, while winning keeps Bowles here, do you think it affects Bucks' efforts to keep Evans, C-Mac, David, and Mayfield, along with Winfield Wirfs, or not?
No, I don't think so. Todd Bowles is very beloved coach. I mean, even the offensive players, they love Todd Bowles. I know that there is this like side that the media, we get to see the press conference version of Todd Bowles. I've sat in Todd Bowles' office before, and he's a completely different dude than he is at the podium. And that's the type of Todd Bowles the players see. It's a little jarring to kind of like see Bowles in an environment where like the cameras aren't on and all of that. He's very down to earth, funny guy.
Can bust chops. He can bust chops like anybody can.
He actually has charisma, which I know Buccaneer fans don't think is the case, but it's like I was probably in his office for like an hour and a half, just chatting with him, and totally different guy. And the players, I remember talking to Rashad and Tristan and all the offensive guys, even last year. And they're like, oh man, I love Todd Bowles. He gets me so fired up to play. And I can see in my mind, Buccaneer fans' heads exploding because they just don't think he's that guy, but he's not as dry and as wooden as you might think he is. So I think they love playing for him. Tom Brady loved playing for him. Tom Brady appreciated his approach to, hey, let's have a more balanced attack. And if you look, Matt, I mean, the only guys that didn't really play on defense the last game against the Eagles were like Dee Delaney and Ryan Neal. I mean, he got everybody pretty much that was active involved in the game plan in these different packages. So defensive players love him. I think the offensive players over the last 2 years have really come to love playing for him too.
Yeah, and to further answer it, like, do you think it affects it? I think it positively affects it. Like Antoine Winfield Jr., this is a coach that got you first team all pro. Right. You wouldn't want to keep playing with that. Tristan Wirfs, sure, an offensive guy. This is the only coach. Yeah. Well, he's had Bruce Arians as well, but you know, he's been around this coaching staff the whole time in his career, and every single time he's been in the NFL, he's made the postseason. Why would he want to mix that up? And Baker Mayfield, for everything we talked about with stability, and Levante David, he's had the most success in his career as a team since Todd Bowles became the defensive play caller and now head coach, and when Bruce Arians got there. So, if anything, I think it enhances everybody's will and want to come back to Tampa Bay or stay with Tampa Bay. And speaking of the personality of Todd Bowles, we saw that a little bit today, talking about kind of balancing and the challenges of not just being a defensive play caller anymore, but being a head coach as well. And kind of opened the door a little bit into how long he may continue to coach for. There's a certain number he's definitely not getting to.
Right.
Since you've had this job, what is that time split like for you, and how much do you still enjoy, you know, being able to get in there and you know, have those exotic game plans and things?
It gets me in a lot early, I can tell you that. I used to be a 5:30 guy, and I migrated to a 4:30 guy, and I'm like a 3:20 guy. And you get a lot of work done in the morning. Still love that part of it. Still enjoy it very much. It's getting tiring. I'm getting old. I don't have that many years left in this league, but I still enjoy it.
Todd, how many years do you have? Because we've seen some coaches, Bill Cowher, Tony Dungy, walk away when they're still like in their prime. And then we've seen, you know, your mentor, Bruce Arians, coach until he was 70.
I'm not going to make 70. I'll tell you that right now. I guarantee you I'm not making 70.
You getting in there at 3:20?
Again, just like a little fun, a little personality from Todd Bowles. Todd, which I really appreciate it because I do it the same with myself. Todd can crack himself up. Like if he starts hearing a question or something And I'm not talking about the one that went viral yesterday. Yeah. But he'll like see a question, hear a question, and like start cracking up because he's like, man, like I would love to say this, but I can't actually say this. So I'm going to say that instead. Right. Yeah. So for those that may not be as familiar with Todd Bowles, give him a little more credit for having a bit of a personality because he's
60 also. So he didn't look it. I mean,
he does not look 62 years old.
Yeah, well, he's 60, not 62. Oh, he's 60.
I thought he was 62, but he doesn't look 60 either.
Didn't look 60, but at the same time, and I wrote about this in yesterday's Bucks mailbag about, you know, there was a fan question that was like, can this team hand the head coaching job over to Dave Canales when Bowles calls it quits? And I just don't know about the timing. I mean, unless they win the Super Bowl this year unexpectedly, and Todd says, hey, like, this is a great run, I'm going out on top, which I don't think is going to be the case. Even if Bowles won the Super Bowl this year, I think he would come back.
Yeah.
But I just don't know from a timing standpoint, Matt. What do you think? I mean, I'm thinking Dave Canales stays this year, but then next year or certainly in 2025, I think he's a head coach somewhere. Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only way I can see it, and because Bowles made a good point, because he kind of got asked about like Belichick and Gerard Mayo, and he was like, you know, Belichick was there for 20 years. Like he can kind of do a couple more things like that than Bowles, who's only been a head coach in this organization for two seasons. The only way I can see it working is if behind the scenes, and it kind of helps with Bowles saying, I guarantee you I'm not going to coach till 70. If he's 60 right now, initially I would think like, oh, maybe he can coach till he's 65. But what if he wins, maybe not this year, but within the next three seasons, he ends up winning a Super Bowl. And he's like, you know what? I accomplished my goal. I won a Super Bowl as a head coach. That would give him 5 years as the Buccaneers head coach. If there's a handshake agreement after this year between Bowles and Canales of, okay, I'm going to coach until I'm 65.
Right.
And then after that, I'm out. You can have the reins. I do think there is benefits and a little bit of enticement for Dave Canales to say, oh, all right, like I can stay in Tampa. I can keep my family in Tampa, be in the same area, have that stability that, say, Pete Carroll had just going back to USC and
his system in place with his guys. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's what made it's so appealing to keep Todd Bowles on as the head coach because his system had been put in place since 2019. They won the Super Bowl together in 2020. These were some handpicked guys that Todd Bowles wanted for his defense, right? So it certainly made sense. And I don't know. I like Dave Canales a lot. I think he is a bright young guy. I know you feel the same way. We talk about him after every press conference that he has. It's like he is believable. He has that trait. He's going to be, I think, a very good head coach. And you kind of want him to be the successor.
Yeah.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bowles, whenever that is, I just don't know if it's going to happen because, like you said, if Bowles coaches for say four more seasons even right till he's 64, you know, is Canales going to be here? I think he's going to be head coach.
Exactly. In a perfect world, you would love it to go Bowles and then he passes the reins to Dave Canales and Canales becomes the head coach in Tampa Bay. Cause there is also the fun side for us as the media. We wouldn't know who else would be the next head coach.
Right.
And you know, every head coach is different than the media. And even if you're not great with the media, like we still do our jobs. We'd still be at every press conference and all that stuff. But there is like a fun built-in factor slash benefit that we already know Canales. You can get a feel for what some of his press conferences are already going to be like versus going in with someone that their press conferences could suck every single week. Or
Imagine covering the Falcons with Arthur Smith over the last couple of years.
Yeah, or even like if Belichick got hired by the Bucs, or even like Vrabel, I think would be fun because he'll again, without getting too much into it, the viral video from yesterday about the question that was asked to Todd Bowles, Vrabel would have eviscerated that question. Yeah. I feel like where Bowles.
I agree. Todd Bowles handled that with class. You know, we really didn't kind of focus in on that too much because, I mean, you know, just a reporter's not typically here a whole bunch.
We're not here to kick people when they're down. And, you know, who knows? One day someone else may find themselves in that situation and you don't want everyone piling on you.
Right. Although I will say, I think Todd Bowles did a really good job game planning for the Eagles in terms of, you know, of shutting down the run and really kind of containing Jalen Hurts, not letting him make plays outside the pocket. And, you know, Bowles talked about, you know, well, we're only going to be outside for 20 seconds going from the bus to the Dome Stadium yesterday in the press conference. I think he's really got to look at maybe whittling that number down to 15 seconds because you don't want your players to catch a cold, right? I mean, if you can find a way to improve that time from 20 seconds from the bus to the stadium, you know, inside maybe 15, that's kind of that sweet spot.
I think he's got to make some personnel adjustments as well. You want to get your speed guys up at the front getting off the bus. Zion McCollum, Trey Palmer, guys like that. So they're already faster. So their body heat of just quick movement will keep it warmer for when the big hosses, the O-line and D-line have to get off the bus.
Yeah, it creates like a warm draft,
if you will. Yes, exactly. But, so I would like to see Bowles make that adjustment when they head onto the road. Kyle Miller, thank you for this $4.99 Super Chat, who says, speaking of the first Lions game, can we ditch the creamsicles and add a new alternate white helmet that's similar to the modern pewter helmet?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of cool variants. Like Samer Ali, who's a friend of the show, he does some amazing like alternate Buccaneer looks with different helmets, and there is a white version that he kind of does with the red pirate flag that looks really cool. I don't know, if the NFL was smart, which I don't think the league is, I think the league could be smarter. Let me put it that way about a lot of things. You look at college football. And I'm not saying, you know, become Oregon, right? Where it's, you have no identity in terms of like what your uniform, which, you know, I don't know what Oregon's base uniform is. I don't think they have one. I think they have a different uniform every week, but the different variants that you can wear, it's cool. And I love the fact that they've got the all pewter look that they wear once per year, and they've got the creamsicle look. But like if a team could go with maybe four or five different looks, and I know they can do the different things with the red pants, sorry, the red jerseys, pewter pants, red jerseys, white pants, all white on pewter. But yeah, if there were some different things they could do, there's a lot of cool stuff that could be done. And having like a white helmet with the red flag and stuff, I think would be kind of cool.
I'm in agreement. The more alternates, the better. I mean, the NFL loves making money. We know that. They won't pay. They won't pay for grass fields at certain stadiums because it's too much money. But they love making money hand over fist. So just having more options, more jerseys, I think would be great for the league. One place where you can find more variances, more options, more flavors, of course, is Celsius energy drinks. Mm-hmm. And their newest flavor that they are just rolling out, their newest line as well, is the Celsius Essentials.
So
they
have
270 milligrams of caffeine to help you live fit. And there's no sugar, like all Celsius energy drinks. It is formulated for the fitness enthusiasts looking to elevate their performances. The Celsius Essentials are made with three essential aminos that provide you with an unbeatable combination of ingredients that support your physical and cognitive performances. With a specially formulated lineup of bold flavors, Celsius Essentials is a game changer for those wanting to unlock their full potential and take their fitness to the next level. They are available at 7-Elevens nationwide. You can get the three-pack over at Walmart, and they are rolling out nationwide to select retailers. You can get them on Amazon soon. You can also check out the original flavors of Celsius, whether it's the Cosmic Vibe, Sparkling Orange, Sparkling Watermelon, or the Arctic Vibe, which is my personal favorite. If you need to know where to find those Celsius energy drinks, Go to the Celsius store locator, punch in your address, and it'll tell you the closest place where you can pick one up. Could be a health and fitness store, a convenience store, or your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your local bodegas, and you love getting Celsius, but you're like, this is great, but I got to buy them and put them in bags and they're handfuls. Like, can I just get them in bulk? You can.
By the case.
You can go case by case by going over to Amazon, clicking on the subscribe and save, and have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. It could be week, month, quarterly, yearly. You're in charge. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. Yeah.
We're going to have another fun show tomorrow. We still have got halfway to go with this show, so don't go anywhere. But tomorrow, we've got an awesome show. Does the Bucks revenge tour continue? And Matt, it's interesting, right? Because they've already beaten the Eagles, who beat the Bucks before. They have a chance to beat the Lions, who beat the Bucks before. And there is a pretty strong likelihood, I think, because I think they're the best team in the NFC. The San Francisco 49ers, they could beat the Green Bay Packers in this weekend's game. And then if that's the case, we'll look out. Tampa Bay would go back to San Francisco for another revenge game against the 49ers.
Yeah, that would be fun. It would really help for the storyline as well, because we've heard some players mention the word revenge tour. Obviously, like Todd Bowles isn't going to say it. Right. But yeah, it'd be great to right
Devin
the wrongs.
Devin White said it, and he's a prophet. He predicted the Bucks playing the Eagles.
Yes.
So, I mean, hey, Devin White says it, probably got to be true. Right. So
yeah, hopefully that
so
would
four,
be
4 o'clock tomorrow. Does the Bucks revenge tour continue? More conversation about that topic. And Trey Palmer wants a little revenge too. He had two probable touchdowns against the Lions. They're just out of reach.
Yeah.
But he had
yeah.
a nice touchdown on Monday night against the Eagles. So
yeah,
there, he gets some revenge against the Lions too.
There's also like this stat that every time Trey Palmer has tweeted out, I woke up pissed off, or I'm feeling yeah. pissed off, he ends up scoring a touchdown in that game. So
that's right.
Pay attention, Bucks fans. If he tweets that out on Sunday morning, take him as a prop bet to score a touchdown, because it's worked out. Thanks to Bill Vincent for this $5 super chat, who says, looking at the number of teams the Bucks lost to that are still in the playoffs, lends a whole new light to the 9-8 record.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. The Texans are still in the playoffs. They lost to the Texans, and that was a close one. I mean, that one they could have easily just played better defense with the last 35 seconds and beat the Houston Texans. Obviously, Detroit, the 49ers as well. So, yeah, they've lost to some quality teams this year.
Buffalo Bills.
Another Buffalo one? Bills. Yeah. The Thursday night games are always so weird. It's like you kind of forget that they played that game, which, again, Hail Mary to Chris Godwin. could have won that game too. And the offense was pretty bad then as well. So yeah, I think the offense in general, man, if they could just, because we've seen the Bucks look great, whether it was on offense, whether it was the Eagles last week or Packers game, Jaguars game, that type of stuff. They could just bottle that, man, for these next hopefully three games going to the Super Bowl. That's a team that I think legit has a puncher's chance to make some noise.
Yeah.
But if you get the other version of the Buccaneers, the 9 points against the Panthers, the week before that against the Saints, even the Buffalo game until later, it's just I don't always feel crazy confident that the Bucs are going to be able to bring that the good offense week in and week out. So that's a big question.
I mean, it sounds stupid to say, but I'm going to say it anyways. I mean, it's like in 2020, you could just about pencil the Bucs in for 30 points per game down the stretch. Because you knew Brady, Gronk, AB, Mike, and Chris, like they're good for at least 24, right? I mean, just like showing up to the stadium, probably 24 as they got really hot down the stretch, ended up being 30 points or more in every game, including all the playoff games. So, I agree. It's not quite as confident with this group. Like, they're capable of doing it, but are they going to do it, you know?
Like, that 2020 season, it was just like, they just have to beat the Saints. And if they beat the Saints and they get through the Saints, get that monkey off their back, it was essentially like Team USA in the 1980 Olympics. They beat the Russians.
Right.
There was no way they were going to lose the gold medal after after they beat the Russians. So, yeah, this team a little bit different than that. But let's get to this $20 super chat from Richie P. Thank you very much, Richie, who says, to your point, Matt, I could see the Glazers at some point along the way. And to ensure Canales stick around, make him the highest paid offensive coordinator, like they did Todd Bowles. Mm-hmm. Very interesting thought. I don't know how much more the Glazers could pay him where he's like, you know what? I don't want to have every single responsibility. I don't want to be in charge of a team and try to further my career. Because you know what? And I'm not saying this for Canales, but I'm saying some coaches in general are better as coordinators than they are head coaches. I'm sure there are a couple of offensive or defensive coordinators that are like, you know what? I'm chilling. I'm good. I have a great relationship with the head coach. Yeah. I'm making a good salary. My family can stay in some spot. We don't have to move every couple of years or whatever. I'm just going to keep doing this as an offensive or defensive coordinator. Now, Canales obviously has aspirations to be a head coach and one day will be one. But again, if it's like, hey, just wait one more year and we'll pay you this much more.
Yeah.
And then maybe
it's interesting to think about.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's conceivable for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he was a bit older, certainly, than Dave Canales was, but Monty Kiffin, right? I mean, he didn't go anywhere. I mean, except for Tennessee at the very end, because Lane Kiffin, his son, took that job. But at the same time, though, you know, he didn't even look at any head coaching opportunities under Tony Dungy or John Gruden. And he was a stud defensive coordinator for some time. Matter of fact, no coach in Buccaneer history, I didn't say head coach, no coach in Buccaneer history won more games than Monty Kiffin, who was that crossover coordinator under Tony Dungy and John Gruden.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why he's in the Ring of Honor too. We got the injury report. Let's get to that, shall we, Matt?
Yeah. I saw some people worried about it. I would not be too worried about it. Ooh, just had it up. Let's.
Yep. Bucks had a walkthrough today, which has been their norm on Wednesdays, you know, so nothing to freak out about there. The players that did not participate, which meant they did walk around. Okay, let's be honest. They weren't like on crutches. They weren't on a cart. They did walk around, but they didn't do the walkthrough. And there is a distinction, apparently. Shaq Barrett with an ankle injury did not participate. Yaya Diaby with a shoulder injury did not participate. Chase Edmonds with a toe injury did not participate. Chris Godwin with a knee injury did not participate. Baker Mayfield was a full participant. He walked around and threw the ball, apparently, with his ankle and ribs injuries. So, having said that, I would suspect we're going to see some of those players, Barrett, Diaby, Edmonds, and Godwin, either be limited tomorrow or limited on Friday for sure. And I don't think that they're going to miss this game. I don't think that they're that injured where they're going to, you know, be in jeopardy to not play on Sunday.
Yeah, I would not be worried about anyone. I mean, I love the story that Casey Rogers had about Shaq. The one game late in the season that Shaq missed, he was still trying to go, like, up until the game started. Yeah. So, Shaq, I would be very, very surprised. Yaya with that shoulder. We all saw when he got injured, but he ended up playing the rest of the game. Yeah, I mean, Chase Edmonds got 5 rushing attempts. I wouldn't be worried about anyone on that list.
Lions pretty healthy too. I'm just going to read these off real quick. These all were players that were listed on the injury report, but full participants. So they're going to play. Brian Branch with the knee, James Houston with an ankle. He is currently on injured reserve, but he's in that window. So he could come out and play if he's activated. Safety Kirby Joseph with the knee, Sam Laporta, a tight end with the knee, and Brock Wright, the other tight end with the hip. Those were all full participation. Limited was linebacker Alex Anzalone with the shoulder. And then the two non-participants, and they did have a walkthrough as well. Frank Ragnow, the center, with a knee, with back, and rest, and a toe. I mean, he's just an old man. Knee, back, toe, rest. That sounds like me on a daily basis. And then the other player was Khalif Raymond, the wide receiver with the knee. And so, again, both these teams, I think, are going to be at or near full strength on Sunday for a game, which is good because, you know, you mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs didn't play in the last game and the Lions had some injuries. And we'll see. The Bucs are going to get the Lions best and vice versa on Sunday.
Yeah, and one of the big things to pay attention to for this game is how the Bucks do in the trenches, because we talk about stopping the run, but as far as the offensive line goes, yes, improvement in the running game for sure. Not just I'm talking about Monday's game, but over when they've needed to win and get into the postseason and win this division. But also we see the pass blocking be a little over the past couple games. And some of that's Baker. It's not all on the offensive line. But nonetheless, sacks are sacks. And whether it's Aaron Stinney's fault or Baker Mayfield's fault, they especially can't happen on the road when you're playing in this stadium, this dome that was aching for a playoff game for an extremely very long time. They finally got one last week. It's only going to be louder. So here's here's Todd Bowles talking about that matchup in the trenches. And then in the second half of the video talks about his relationship with Lions coach Dan Campbell that actually goes a pretty long way between the two of them.
Yeah. Todd, when you look at how your offensive line pass protected in the last game, you guys made some strides running the ball, but with Baker getting sacked multiple times the other night, how do you feel in the first matchup that the offensive line did and keeping Baker upright and protecting him?
Well, I thought they did a good job of getting pressure on him and guys not getting open. They did a good job. They got a good front. It's going to be a tough matchup for us. Between Akeem in the middle and the two outside guys, they present a lot of problems. We got to do a lot better job running and throwing football if we want to win this ball game. In Dallas, as a DB coach, when he was a player, we coached together in Miami. Outstanding coach, very fiery guy, extremely intelligent, extremely loyal, will do anything for his team. Very good friends till this day. A lot of respect for him on and off the field. As great a coach as he is, he's a better guy off the field.
Do you see that team taking on you sort of, you know, I mean, everybody plays hard, right? Your team plays hard too, but in terms of just the grit, or maybe a little, what personality traits do you see transfer to a team?
Well, you can see the mental toughness. It started last year, you know, when they hit stride midseason, when they had lost a lot, then they won a lot of ball games. They carried into this year. They never looked back, and Dan's that type of guy.
And sticking with the offensive line, Tristan Wirfs had a great comment. You'll hear it within the last 10 seconds of this video, but pay close attention to Tristan Wirfs.
You guys have handled the underdog role all season long. You look at a game like this, Detroit being home, favor, that the pressure is on them.
Yeah, I mean, no one expected us to be here, so it's, you know, we're underdogs again. I think we use it. I don't need a lot of motivation, so it's just, you know, if you're going to use the underdog thing, use the underdog thing, but it's just going to be about us, you know, 11 guys, all three phases, doing their job for the best of their abilities. What's going to, you know, you guys are probably tired of me saying that, but that's what, you know, that's what football is, you know, executing at a high level to the best of your ability.
Absolutely. I mean, this time of year, I think I said it to you too, everyone, you know, there's good rushers all across, you know, all across the league, all across the front. Playoffs is no different. Playoffs is just heightened, you know. You know, you're getting down to the nitty-gritty, the best of the best. So, having an opportunity to come out and, you know, against another great defensive line is going to be a lot of fun. You know, I trust all five of us, all the guys in our room. You know, we come out and fight our balls off. So, you know, that's what we're going to do again.
They're going to fight their balls off.
That's right. Fight their balls off. Yep.
Let's get to a couple of more super chats from the great Pewter people that have they were kind enough to do so. Starting with the Redfish again. Thank you for the $4.99 super chat. Who says, was that the Eagles games? Incredible atmosphere. Perchance, did you hear the crowd chant, Baker, Baker? Mm-hmm. It was cool. He's won over many fans.
Yeah, he has. And I think it's been a process, because I think when the Buccaneers were interested in signing him, then when they first signed him, there's a lot of standoffishness. But then as he did press conference after press conference, you kind of saw him really try to ingratiate himself into the team. We wrote stories about him. We talked about him on the podcast, and we didn't sugarcoat anything. We're just giving you our perspective. And he just seemed like he had been humbled by his, you know, going from face of the franchise in Cleveland 1 minute to a journeyman quarterback, literally and figuratively the next. And you know, I think he's won fans over. I mean, you've got your Traskaholics, if that's the term that I've seen people in the chat call it, the Trask loyalists. But, you know, I mean, maybe it took people to the perfect game against Green Bay, right, to come on board. Maybe it's taken some to the 337 yards and three touchdowns against the Eagles for others. I think he's just about won over all the fan base right now. I don't know that there's a lot of fans out there that would say, don't re-sign Baker Mayfield, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because at most quarterbacks, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, most other quarterbacks are going to have, you know, some bad games as well, which Baker has had this season, and that leaves the Trask fans or just people that don't like the Bucs to be like, this guy's terrible, this guy's trash. But
yeah,
not everyone can have these elite level games like Baker Mayfield has had as well. To your point, the Packers game, literal perfect game. So Baker, when he's baking, like he is right now, it's hard not to like him. And the fact that he's earned it because his teammates go out and say how important he is to the team. Again, Tristan Wirfs every week, Baker's a dog. Baker's a dog, like over and over again. I love when he says it. I mean, Ryan Jensen's been injured all year, has not played at all. He's even headbutting Baker Mayfield.
I know.
If they weren't getting along with Baker Mayfield, you think he'd be headbutting a guy that hasn't played in two seasons? So, Baker's really earned it, which has been very cool. Thanks to Rainer Chamberlain for the $5 super chat. You got another one as well, which we'll get to in a moment. Thanks to Brian Fisher for this $5 super chat
much,
too.
Guys.
If you got another comment, we're happy to get into it. But like I said, thanks to Rainer for this $5 super chat too, who says, it blows my mind how the emergence of our success receives so much underwhelming press. The numbers are not worthy. We can really win out. Go Bucks. Yeah, I hear you with the frustration. Like, Tampa's a pretty well-known city, a pretty big city. And like Colin Coward, who's come around on Baker, there's no more beef, I think, between Colin Coward and Baker Mayfield. And anyway, on their show, they were talking about, I guess they do this all the time, but they were doing like a new weekly power rankings. But this version, it was like the teams remaining in the playoffs, these power rankings. And he had the Bucs eighth. So last in the power rankings. And I was like, damn, like, you know, this team just smoked the Eagles. They won the division. I get it. Maybe Baker's not as flashy as CJ Stroud or, you know, as infamous as like the Packers organization in general. But I was like, damn, the Bucs at eighth. Well, I thought that was a bit of a slight.
I agree. And I think the Buccaneers, I mean, they're underdogs this week. What's the current spread, Matt? I haven't looked at it yet with the Lions.
Last I checked, it was six.
All right. Well, I'm just saying they're not going to be favorites, right? So it's like they're going to be underdogs this week. They're going to be underdogs if they win and play the 49ers. If they host the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game, Matt, that might be the only game that they might not be underdogs for, simply because they've beaten the Packers and they, you know, it's a home game. Should they go all the way to the Super Bowl? Now, maybe if they beat the 49ers in San Francisco, they get some more street cred, right? But they would be underdogs to the Bills because the Bills beat them earlier, right? They would be underdogs probably even to the Texans because the Texans beat them earlier, right? Kansas City, they would be underdogs to the Chiefs. They'd be underdogs to the Ravens. So they're going to be underdogs with the exception of maybe that game against the Packers. Okay. Should it get there, you know, but speaking of odds, if you're looking to maybe place a wager, well, I'm going to tell you where to do it. And it's the place where I go to put my wagers in all the time. And I actually won about $75 on the Bucks because I took the Bucks money line like the smart guy that I am.
Nice.
Put my money where my mouth was. But I do it at MyBookie. Gear up, sports fans. The NFL playoffs are here with the big game just around the corner. There's never been a better time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't just watch it. Score big with exclusive boosted odds and huge prize contests that'll have you feeling that big game fever even before it hits. Whether you're a seasoned pro or ready to roll for the first time, MyBookie is your ticket to turning your sports knowledge into cold, hard cash. MyBookie has the largest online lineups of odds, contests, and Vegas-style casino games, making it your ultimate destination for all the fun 24/7 right at your fingertips. They've got a great app. You can log on to the website. Either way that you want to bet, it's fantastic at MyBookie. Now, here's what you got to do. And if you've been waiting for the right moment to get in on the action, the wait's over. Make your winning move today and sign up at MyBookie. Use the promo code Pewter to claim your deposit up to $1,000. That's right, the promo code Pewter for an opportunity to boost your betting power. Experience the thrill of sports betting right from the comfort of your home. Because with MyBookie, you can bet anything, anywhere, anytime.
Let's keep these super chats rolling in. Thank you to Scotty J for the $9.99 super chat, who says, again, knowing what we know now, are we in the middle of a rebuild and Jason and the boss G are happy with this quarterback, offensive coordinator, and head coach? Are we missing the end of the beginning, as Winston Churchill said?
I think they're finding some answers, right? I think they have their head coach, they've got their coordinator, and they've got their quarterback for next year. I think they're going to re-sign Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
So if I'm Jason Light, I'm also drafting a quarterback for the future. Again, Baker Mayfield is great when he's healthy, right? I mean, there was a shoulder injury in 2021. We've seen, seasons get wrecked when starting quarterbacks go down. So you have to have a good backup. Kyle Trask has not shown me enough in training camp, in the limited preseason, and the very limited reps in game, regular season games, for me to make a conclusion. We're running out of time with Kyle Trask, right? He is entering his contract year four next year. Draft a quarterback, second, third, fourth round, wherever you can find a good guy to good value, and have that be the next guy. And I think a 3-year contract for Baker would be good and appropriate. And let's see if this Buccaneer team can keep building. We know that Atlanta's going to have – they're going to press the reset button. We know that the Carolina Panthers are doing the same thing. The Saints just fired Pete Carmichael, their offensive coordinator. I don't have the faith in Dennis Allen that I certainly did with Sean Payton at the helm of New Orleans. I think the division's there for the taking again for the Buccaneers, Matt. And so – this is a bit of it's a retooling more than a rebuilding, yes. I think, because this roster went from being very old to very young really quickly. And again, we talked about it before, 10 starters, if you include Trey Palmer as a starter at wide receiver number 3 in a 3 wide receiver set, 10 starters out of the last 2 drafts for Jason Light and the front office. And guess what, Matt? They got another draft coming up to draft even more guys that'll step in and start as well.
Yeah, to answer this one a little more specifically, I'll go from right to left instead of left to right. Like, starting with the head coach, more wins this season and further into the postseason. So, again, like we said on the other show, checking the box right there. Offensive coordinator, upbeat, great personality. That's why we call him the Houston Human Celsius.
Yep.
Improve the run game, even though league-wise still last.
Yep.
And scored more points per game. Mm-hmm. That's a check. Baker, again, galvanized the team, infectious personality, everyone likes him, great stats this season, did not turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. That's all a huge plus. That's a check as well. The reason why it's like a reload a little bit or a retooling, as you said, is they have to land the last part of this act and everything like that. And that is the offseason with Mike Evans, with Antoine Winfield Jr., with Tristan Wirfs coming around the corner, and with the right contract for Baker Mayfield. Because Baker has been great this year. Yeah. What I do worry about is, and that's why I just want the Bucs to make sure that they have the right contract to Baker, where Baker's happy getting his money, but they aren't as tied into it where if Baker falters in the next couple of years, I don't want the Bucs to have buyer's remorse the way that, let's just say, the Cowboys might have with Dak Prescott at the moment, even Jalen Hurts to a degree with what's happened there. I don't want the Bucs to get into that buyer's remorse. But if you find the right contract for Baker, you re-sign Mike Evans, because then you go into next year saying, all right, you got Baker. Mike's back for like 3 or 4 seasons. Yeah, okay, Chris Godwin's on the last year of his deal. But you can game plan for Chris Godwin's gone in a year versus
maybe Trey Palmer steps up and becomes
exactly. So Yeah, I think it's a retooling. I definitely would not call it a rebuild by any means.
Yep.
Thanks to Eric Moreno for the $5 super chat. Any concern with Godwin knee, Yaya shoulder, all that stuff? Eric, maybe you signed onto the show late. We talked about it before. They were all out. It's a walkthrough. They're going to be fine. They're all going to play in the game. No worries there.
Yeah, I agree.
And thank you to LDBC's Most Wanted. The $9.99 Super Chat says, how big of an impact do you think Bowles had in drafting Winfield? Todd got a ton of credit for Zion, Yaya, Kancey, Izian, and say what you want about Devin White, but he played a huge role in 2020. Yeah. I mean, Todd Bowles, especially for someone like Winfield, Bowles loves players in the secondary. He was a safety himself when he played in the NFL. I'm sure Bowles played a pretty big role in getting Antoine Winfield in there. And yeah, anyone defensively, you could probably turn to Todd Bowles and say, Todd gave the seal of approval.
Even though he was the defensive coordinator, first-year defensive coordinator in Tampa Bay in 2019, he did play a large role in wanting Devin White to be drafted by the team, even though Bruce Arians was the head coach at that time. And Jason Light does a very good job of building consensus and working with the coaches. The last thing you want is a general manager to force a player onto a coach, whether it's a position coach, a coordinator, or the head coach. So every player, everybody on this list here that you mentioned, Todd Bowles had the seal of approval, and of course, Jason Light had the seal of approval too. Those guys work in conjunction really, really well. Just like Matt Matera and Adam Slavon work in conjunction incredibly well on Thursdays. And the show we're doing tomorrow at 4 o'clock is, does the Bucks Revenge Tour continue? And that's going to be at 4 o'clock, so make sure you keep it locked into Pewter Report TV, which is our YouTube channel. We want to thank everybody. We're over 13,000. If you missed our show yesterday, we went over 13,000 live on the air. So awesome. We're, I think, at 13,066 right now.
Yeah, we got a big jump yesterday, even after the 13,000. So appreciate you guys so much for that. That last super chat that mentioned all the defensive guys mentioned Zion McCollum as well. Well, we spoke to Zion too, and I thought he had some really cool answers and just some interesting stuff and insight about his move to safety, because Zion's been everywhere this season.
Yeah, I'm starting to get more and more comfortable at the position. I mean, any position on the field I'm very, very comfortable with, because I have the right people around me teaching me, guiding me, and so any position I'm playing, I'm confident.
How much have you practiced that behind the scenes last week, or have you been taking snaps playing safety throughout the season here and there?
It's been limited to the past couple of weeks, so I'm kind of just getting everything, feeling around for it, but I like learning different positions. I like knowing where my help is and understanding what their job is. So it was a pretty easy transition.
Could you see kind of keep an eye on them?
We definitely have to respect everybody that they have, but St. Brown has been playing really, really good ball, so we have to keep an eye out on him in particular. Him, LaPorta, they have a lot of weapons, so not necessarily, but yes.
Or Jamel, you've really been at the start of the whole season.
You guys were healthy on Monday night. What was it like to be on the field with them and having that secondary strength in a sense?
Feels really good. I mean, as a secondary, we feel super confident when we're all on the field together, and especially me being corner-minded and being on the field with both of our starters. I mean, it feels like we can take away all the receivers, no matter who it is. If us three are out there playing man-to-man, then we know quarterback has a hard time.
You're not going to have a hard time finding a house with Eric Gross and the Eric Gross group on your team, that's for sure. Eric knows the real estate market inside and out. He's a Tampa native. His father was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base. He's got the market knowledge, the top-notch communication, the commitment to excellent service that sets he and the Eric Gross Group apart, the official realtors of Pewter Report. Make sure you check out his website, Eric Gross Group, on Facebook and Instagram. The website is housesinfla.com. You can call Eric at 513-907-4271. No matter where you are in your homeownership journey, you're going to feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Pewter Report. Again, housesinfla.com. And make sure that you are checking out Pewter Game Day on Sunday. Pre-game show at 2 o'clock. Live in-game analysis at 3 o'clock. Matt Matera is going to have all of the insight from One Buccaneer Place to help you digest what you're watching when the Buccaneers take on the Detroit Lions. That's Sunday, Pewter Game Day, right here on Pewter Report TV, our YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's right. Live reactions and the opinions. Those are, I think, the two best parts, and we'll see what bets hit what bets don't. Hey, we got a late super chat, but a very important super chat. Thank you to Gino Sisson for this $20 super chat that says,
thank you.
Off the topic, guys, but every time I need cheering up, I always listen to your podcast a few years back when both Scott and the great late Mark Cook started talking about
Maggie with the Chicago accent.
Gino, I've gone back and listened to that from time to time. I crack up every single time. It was Matt Nagy, the Chicago Bears, a linebacker's name's Khalil Mack. And honestly, the funniest part of it all is laugh through the whole thing. Mark is like begging, pleading with Trevor Sikkema to like kind of keep doing the show. And then as he's laughing, he's saying, I got asthma. And then he goes, I got asthma. So all time moment in Pewter Report history. Yeah. And thanks, Gino, for
great stuff.
Bringing that up. By the way, as we close off the show, please follow us on all of our social media on X, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Pewter Report. Our YouTube channel is Pewter Report TV. Thank you, guys. We'll do it all again tomorrow. For Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thank you. And see everyone at 4 p.m. for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Peace out.
John Gruden, offensive coordinator, New Orleans Saints.
What?